Welcome you to Wiley Methodist Church this morning. Glad that you are worshiping with us. I want to kind of go over just a few little things here. And from the pew in front of you, the seat in front of you, you'll see some different colored cards. The yellow card is if you have any kind of decision that you'd like to make this morning. You can check that box and bring that forward to me later. The green card is for any prayer requests, which you can fill out and you can bring to our altar and leave it with us or leave it in your chair as well. And then the blue card is if you are visiting with us this morning, and it could be your first visit. It could be that you've been here a few times, but maybe haven't really let us know that you were here. But we would love to know who you are and that you've been here. And there's a box on there if you'd like to be on our email distribution list. You can check that. We want to be a friendly church. We can't be friendly if we don't know who you are. So we invite you to fill that out if you would like for us to know you were here. Also, on the inside your bulletin this morning, you see kind of a tan sheet, yellowish kind of sheet that's got some things that are coming up in November. I want to highlight the Discovery class next week, next Sunday. From noon to 2:30, we'll bring lunch in for the group, and this is for people that are looking to know more about our church and our ministries and our vision and our heart here. And lunch and child care will be provided next week as well. And then you can kind of read through the rest of those Sundays and things that are coming up. So just wanted to highlight those things this morning. I also wanted to let you know, in case you have not heard, Bob Martin, a precious man that's been a member of our church for many years, went to be with Jesus about 10:30 last night. Bob's been struggling, pretty big struggle for about 3 months. And Bob went to be with the Lord last night. So keep Sandra and her family in your prayers, if you would. If you will turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Beginning in verse 1 there in chapter 12. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited your presence, and we have encountered your presence. We pray that you would come and speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I preached on covenant 2 or 3 years ago, and I want to come back to this. We're going to be kind of, this month is, we're going to be doing several things that are on that announcement sheet that kind of deal with covenant. And so I'm beginning a series this morning called Covenant Keepers. And this morning, the title of the message is Initiated by God, Covenant Keepers Initiated by God. Now, I want to talk about two words as we start off this morning that we both use in our culture, in our society. We both should be somewhat familiar with these words, but I want us to dig a little deeper into these words. And the first one, the two words are contract and covenant, contract and covenant. So let's talk about contract for just a second. Now, there's nothing wrong with contracts. We do contracts all the time. But here are kind of the bullet points there that kind of define contract. Generally, a contract is made for a specific period of time, And a contract is motivated. This is important. A contract is motivated by the desire to get something we want. Are you with me? to get something we want. And finally, it's based on an if-then mentality. And I've told you before, I used to, in my old life, I was a computer programmer, and this COBOL, the young bucks don't even know what COBOL is anymore, but I used to program in COBOL and some other different languages. But we had one of our commands in COBOL was if-then. It was an if-then command. If this statement is true or false, whatever we define there, if that's true or false, then do something. Go perform some sort of a routine or something. So a contract is based on an if-then mentality. If you do this for me, then I will do this for you. And an example of a contract that's in our everyday life is like a car loan. If you've ever borrowed money for a car or a house or anything like that, now don't buy it from David Gist. But no, David, I'm kidding. I buy cars from David all the time. But I promise you, when David writes a contract with me, he's expecting something from me, aren't you, David? It's called a payment, right? You're expecting that payment. And so it's this if-then mentality. If you give me the privilege of driving this vehicle, then I will make this monthly payment. So there's something that I want. I want the vehicle. There's something that the dealer wants. They want to make money. And so there's this if-then mentality with contract. Nothing wrong with contracts. We do them all the time. But did you know that God doesn't work in contracts? The way he functions is not with contracts. God is a God of covenant. Now let's look at that word covenant for just a minute. Covenant, a covenant is made as a permanent commitment. A permanent commitment. And it's a covenant is motivated, now listen to this, motivated for the benefit of the other person. I don't care what car dealer you use. They want you to be happy with your vehicle, but the motive for a car dealer is to make money. Did you know that? In case you didn't know that, that's a newsflash for you. But they're in business to make money. That's their motive, is to make money. My motive is I want to drive a new vehicle. But covenant, it's you have the other person in mind. There's something for them is the motive. And it's based, a covenant is based on an enduring, steadfast love. Now, I gave you an example of a car loan for a contract. An example of a covenant is covenant of marriage. Now, if I've married any of you, or if I have done premarital counseling with you or any of your loved ones, one of the things that I cover and I talk about when I bring in a couple for marriage is I pull out the vows and I say, let's look at these vows that you guys are going to be saying in a few months here. Let's look at those. And I remember a little over 34 years ago, I said something to the effect of this to this little bride right over here. She was 18. I got her when she was young and stupid. Okay, that's the only reason I have Cheryl, by the way, in case you were wondering. She's grown a brain since she married me, but she's in covenant. I'm just kidding. It's okay to laugh in church. Did you know that? All right, a little over 34 years ago, I said something like this, and I was asked this: Jeff, will you have Cheryl to be your wife? Will you live together in holy marriage? Will you love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, be faithful to her as long as you both shall live? There's nothing in there that's about what Cheryl will do for me, is there? I'm making covenant with her. It with hopefully with God at the center of that. When we marry and we go through the vows and say those things before God and before our family and friends and before this person that we wish to come into union with, we are making covenant with that person. Now, I didn't respond to that. And many times in our mind, we may be translating this, but my response was not, I will if she will. That was not my response. Have you ever heard that at a wedding? Maybe some of our weddings we should say that. I will if she will, or I will if he will. But no, covenant is motivated for the benefit of the other person. How can I be the best husband for Cheryl that God has called me to do? How can I help her be all that God has called her to be? That is covenant, not what can Cheryl do for me? If we got that right, friends in Christ, there wouldn't be any divorces. Did you know that? If all husbands and all wives got that right, there wouldn't be any. And I'm not here condemning. If you've been divorced, please don't hear condemnation in that. I'm not, because life happens, and I understand things. There's circumstances or circumstances. But I'm just saying, if we all got that right, if all those in Christ got that right, there would be no divorce. Because God is a God of covenant. It's motivated for the benefit of the other person. In fact, if we look at Scripture in the Old Testament and the New, there's this relationship of marriage that God uses when he's describing his relationship with the church. Which, who is the church? You and I. It's not this building. You and I are the church. We are the church. So in Isaiah 54 in the Old Testament, it says this: "For your maker," big M, "your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name." So we see in the Old Testament that God himself is referring to himself as the husband of his bride. The New Testament, we see throughout that Christ is being referred to as the bridegroom, and the church is being his bride. And so we see this covenantal relationship that God has with his people. So I want us to dig a little bit deeper. You know, I was telling Cheryl last night that I've got so much, sometimes my brain just wants to explode because I've got so much stuff I want to try to convey to you in this time, in this sermon time. Now, one thing I want you to know, this is a series, so there's going to be more coming on covenant, and hopefully it's all going to piece together like a puzzle, but you're not going to get all of it today. But there's so much about covenant, and we don't understand the significance of that word in our relationship with God. I just don't think that we get it as the church. The first thing that we need to understand is that God desires covenant relationship with you. Now, you know, think about how big of a statement that is. The God that spoke the universe into existence from nothingness, the God that's spinning the planets on his finger, the God that casts the stars in the sky, the God who has created all living things, desires covenantal relationship with you. That's crazy to me to think that he wants relationship with me. He initiated the covenant to Abraham in Genesis 17. I think some of this is in your notes. Some of these scriptures are in your notes there. Genesis 17. "This is my covenant with you." This is God speaking to Abram. "This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you." Now, so what God told Abram, that later became Abraham, what he told him was that bring all of your male children at 8 days old, I want you to bring them, and I want you to circumcise them, and that would be the sign. Now, do you think that 8-day-old infant really had a part of that decision? You know, God chose that child. God chose that child because he wanted, it wasn't, the child hadn't, it's like, not like, well, they've been really, really good those first 8 days, so I think I'll receive you into my family. I think I'll have a relationship with you because you've been a really, really good baby for those 8 days. No. He desired relationship, so he chose that child to come into relationship with him. I just picture this, God walking through this orphanage. I was watching a movie this weekend. It's one of those kind of brainless guy movies. But anyway, I think it was The Prince of Persia. I'm sorry, I'm kind of shallow sometimes. But it was just one of those kind of fun action kind of Indiana Jones kind of movies. But this king of Persia was going through the streets one day, and there was this orphan boy that was having to steal apples to survive, and he's just wandering through the marketplace trying to survive, this little boy. And the king saw something in that boy, and he says, "I want to bring you into my family, and I want to make you a prince. I want you to come and live with me, and I want to make you my own." And I thought of how God selects us. I mean, that little boy, he was stealing food and just, you know, getting into all sorts of mischief because just trying to survive. And yet this king said, I choose you. I want you to be a part of my family. I want you to be royalty and belong to me. That's what God does with us. He initiates this covenantal relationship. In the New Testament, we see in Colossians, therefore, as God's chosen people, not that we've earned it, not that we've somehow, you know, are worthy of it, but as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, there it is, it's this covenant is based on this steadfast love. We are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So God selects us. He chooses us to be a part of his family. In 1 Peter, he says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. God desires covenantal relationship with you. Now, I want to say, for just stop here a second and say, especially when you don't deserve it. You know, so many people are thinking, you don't know, preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the life I lived. I'm beyond the grace of God. I would say to you, that's why Jesus took the nails. That's why Jesus took the nails. Because we couldn't be good enough. Because we could not earn his favor. We're a chosen people. And God desires relationship with you. Second thing about covenant, God is faithful to his covenant. Now, here's the thing. People, us, you and I, we can break the covenant. But God is not a covenant breaker. God is not a covenant breaker. He is faithful to his covenant. Some 400 or so years after Abraham, and he had made this covenant, and he had fulfilled the covenant, at least initiated the covenant through Isaac. I'm telling you, I mean, God, for people that we think that anything that doesn't make sense, we thought, oh, that couldn't have been, you know, that couldn't have happened or whatever. Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90 when God brought them Isaac to fulfill this promise that he had made. That almost sounds like a miracle to me. What do you think? How many 90-year-old ladies have you seen that you visited in the maternity ward up at Hendrick? I hadn't visited any. I don't know. But that almost sounds like a miracle to me. God is faithful to his covenant. In Exodus, he said this, when the people had been in bondage for 400 years, and he sends Moses, and you know the story that he sends the plagues, and Pharaoh keeps saying, no, 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 I won't let your people go. And finally, we know the final plague that he sent was what became known as Passover. And here's what it says in Exodus 12. Then they are to take, and he's God speaking to Moses about the people of Israel. They are to take some of the blood after they have sacrificed this lamb. They are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that's when the Israelites began to observe Passover, because it was celebrating this night when death passed over the people of God. Now, notice, I've not personally observed any circumcisions, but I think there's probably some blood involved in a circumcision. I don't even know if you can talk about circumcision in church, but I'm talking about it, by golly. So you've got this flesh and blood of the sign of the covenant and circumcision. Then you have the shedding of blood and the sign of the blood over the doorpost in this covenant of Passover, in this fulfillment of the covenant. Now, I want us to move forward to us. The third thing about covenant. You and I, we are now heirs to the covenant through Jesus. We have been adopted in. We have been grafted in, what Scripture tells us, that the covenant was made with the people of Israel. But through Christ, Scripture tells us, we, the Gentiles, have been grafted in. We've been adopted into this covenantal relationship through Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but that's humbling. That's humbling that God would look down and he would see me and he would say, I choose Jeff. And he would look down and he would see you and he would say, I choose them. God has made us heir to the covenant through Jesus. We are going to partake of the meal in just a moment that Jesus instituted. But so for hundreds of years, the people of Israel, before Christ, the people of Israel had been celebrating this Passover meal, established way back in Egypt when they painted the blood over the door of their homes. And death passed over that home. So they had been celebrating this meal. And God's really big on remembering. He tells us to remember a lot. And that's what they were doing, the nation of Israel. Every time that they would celebrate Passover, they were remembering how God had saved them, brought them out of the bondage that led to death, and death had passed over them. They were remembering that. Now listen to these. Now we move forward to Jesus. The last Passover meal that he partook in this world, here's what he said. And he took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember. Remember. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Covenant involved flesh and blood from the very beginning. The very initial sign of the covenant, circumcision, involved something of the flesh and the shedding of blood. Christ changed the script that night, and he said, now, this is my body broken for you. Covenant. And no longer did they need to sacrifice an innocent lamb, a pure innocent lamb, and be saved, where death would pass over them because of the blood of that lamb. Jesus was now the Lamb of God, the everlasting God, the everlasting covenant. And his blood was shed so that we might have death pass over us. Galatians 3 tells us, if you belong to Christ, I want you to go ahead and answer me vocally. Do you belong to Christ? So I think this scripture is for you. If you said yes, I think this scripture is for you. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We have been grafted into this covenantal promise that death itself would pass over us. And then Jesus, he stated it there at the last meal, and then he proved it with an empty tomb. He proved it with an empty tomb. Death had no hold on him, and because of him, death has no hold on us. I can honestly say, saw Christ in Bob Martin. Death has no hold on Bob Martin. He may have taken his last breath on this earth last night at 10:30, but when he finished that last breath here, he started a new breath face to face with his Savior. Death passes over those if we are in Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are the God of covenant and not contract. You have initiated covenant for our benefit. And your motive was your great love for us. Lord, we thank you. Thank you is really so insufficient, but that's all we've got, Lord. Thank you. May our lives bring you glory. Thank you for picking us. In Jesus' name, amen. Christ our Lord invites us to his table this morning. This is his invitation and not mine. It's not our church's invitation. It's Christ's invitation. He invites us to this table. If we repent of our sins and we have called on Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we are invited to this table. You do not have to be a member of this church, anything like that. This is an open table for those who repent of their sin and confess Christ as Lord and Savior. So the first piece of that invitation is repent of our sins. It doesn't mean that we come to this table as a perfect people. It means that we come to this table as a redeemed people, redeemed by the body and blood of Christ. So if you take just a moment in silence, just take a moment and confess your sins before our holy and righteous God. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. If our praise team, Jared, if you'll come as well, if our praise team and our servers and the sound team will come. Again, the invitation comes from Christ. If you repent of your sins and you love Jesus, you are welcome to come to this table. These two stations here and the two stations on the other end will be given a piece of bread, and you can dip the juice and dip it into the juice and partake in that manner. The center section has the individual cups. If you'd like to be served in that manner, come there. The altar rail is open. Come.
Became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself, carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel. The rest. rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, His blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all our hope is in you, all our hope is in all the glory to you, God, the light of the world, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Are you a covenant keeper? Are you a covenant keeper? Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Jesus Messiah.
Jesus Messiah.